Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Today on Advanced, we discuss how workplace communication is changing. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Naomi, and I'm glad that you're here with us today, January 9th, to begin a new article. It is our internet article for this month, and it's about a topic that I'm pretty sure affects all of us. Most of us remember getting our first email addresses and starting to receive communication in that way, and it doesn't actually seem that long ago to me, but maybe for some of you, you've had email pretty much your entire life. It is one of the more recent methods of communication that have come along, but there is a change that is coming our way. So we're here to discuss it. And joining me, first of all, is Bill.
Hi, Naomi, and hello, listeners. I love this topic. This is fabulous. I could talk about this topic all week if you wanted me to.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll get back to you on that. We'll see how the first day goes.
I had my first email address 15 years ago. I think it was 1997 or 1998. So it was about 15 years ago.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. And I remember at the beginning, it was a bit weird. And you kind of had to say to people, oh, do you have an email address?
Yeah, it was really weird in that if I didn't have a computer, I had to go to the library and borrow the computer there. And, of course, we were limited with the time that we could use the computer at the library.
And you had to use dial-up modems.
Oh, yeah.
And it took forever just for one email to load onto the screen.
Yeah, it was really slow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it slowly started to take off, didn't it?
Yeah, it really did. It's amazing how it did catch on with the population. And, you know, it certainly fit a need. But as we were going to discuss here in the next 2 days, it has kind of worn out its welcome, and now it's time for other things to take its place.
Very interesting. Also joining us today is Joanna. Joanna, do you remember a time before email?
I do. In fact, I remember when my family first got internet, and my dad was the only one with an email address, and he thought it was so cool and the greatest thing, and I, being a young elementary school student, was not interested in learning how to do it. I wasn't interested in browsing the internet. I wasn't interested in email. None of my friends had email. It was just dumb and too complicated for me.
But now you are quite proficient at email.
No, I'm still pretty dumb. But no, I've had several email addresses now, so times have changed.
Mm-hmm. Now I do also have multiple addresses that I use for different things. I have one work email address. I have a family email address. I have a, you know, online subscriptions email address. And it seems like they're so useful to have, and we rely on them so much, right?
Yes, we do rely on them. And I too have, I don't know, about 5 or 6 different email addresses. I use them for different purposes. Some are for storage. Some are clearly my junk email thing.
Right.
So, you know, the fun stuff. Other is more for more professional or personal use. So different uses.
Right. Mm-hmm. But despite all of that, it sounds like there's sort of a surprise in store with this article. What's the title, Joanna?
Well, the title is The End of Email. This era, which we saw the dawning of a few years ago, is now apparently coming to an end.
Which surprises me a little bit.
Me too. I feel like the end, even if it comes, it won't be quick. I can't see email dying out completely for many more years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I will say that I think I receive fewer emails than I used to because more people are likely to even just send me a text message through one of the free apps that are available, or they'll message me on Facebook, right?
Yeah, I do. I use email much less than I did before. I was a heavy-duty email user up until maybe 2 or 3 years ago, and I spent a lot of time on it, but now much less time. And I have found other platforms are quicker and easier to use for certain things. I still like email for for certain things. Right. So I wouldn't, I'm not about to eliminate it completely because it does serve a purpose for certain types of emails, which I'll talk about more later.
Okay. Bill was talking about different platforms. What do we mean by that?
Platforms being different sort of areas. Maybe if you like to use email for personal use, like writing letters, if you don't find, you know, texting to be a substitute for that, that would be one platform, work being another platform, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. And in the same way, something like social media would be a different platform from email. So it's these mm-hmm. sort of different ways to communicate, right?
Right. Facebook or Twitter would be considered other platforms that we could use. And they fit a certain area or a certain niche, we might say, mm-hmm. in communications. So that's they have taken over those niches from email.
Okay. Now, I think most of us are in the same boat as Bill. We think, well, of course I'll still keep using my email, at least for certain things. Why is this article so definite in saying that this is the end of email, that it is coming? Let's find out as we begin our first reading.
The end of email. The rise and fall of one of the most significant innovations in communication. You've got mail. There was a time, say about 1998, when the hit romantic comedy of the same name made its debut, that the phrase was cute. Email was a fast, special way to be connected. Then, email stopped being cute and special because everyone had it. Then, it stopped being charming because it never stopped. Now we find ourselves stuck with the most ironic of unintended consequences of the once efficient email, its vast inefficiency. The sheer volume of corporate email is a pretentious sign of importance. The more you get, the higher in the corporate pecking order you must reside. Email now consumes much of our work week, driving down efficiency and productivity. It's gotten so bad, there's an unintended consequence to the unintended consequence. We may actually be mercifully approaching the end of email.
Okay, friends, we're on page 20 of your Advanced magazine for January, beginning this new article, The End of Email. And I do hope you have your highlighters or your pens and pencils ready, because there's a lot of vocabulary to learn in this one. And we begin with an idiom, the rise and fall. That's something that we sometimes hear in a historical context.
Yeah, right when I read that deck, I thought of the rise and fall of the Roman Empire.
Right.
And we're talking about the development of an empire, and then it's in power for a while, and then eventually it just deteriorates and doesn't exist anymore.
Right. It sort of fades out. And so here we're talking about a very significant innovation in communication. If something is significant, of course, it means it matters. It has made a difference. How do we begin this article?
We begin by saying, you've got mail. And if you've ever had an AOL account, that's what that phrase comes from. A man's voice would come on when you log into your email account and say, you've got mail. I can't do a very good man impression, but that was pretty much it.
You've got mail.
There we go.
Yeah. there was a movie about it, if you remember, with Tom Hanks and
Meg Ryan.
Mm-hmm. It was very
so cute.
One of my favorite romantic comedies, but it's all about a little email flirtation that develops into a beautiful romance.
Yes, it is.
Yes, I really like that movie. And at this time, it was so hot because email was just coming into its
right.
own. That's why that movie was so popular. That's why it was such a hit. This was like this new exciting thing.
Right. And it was actually a remake of a movie that originally was focused on physical snail mail, you know, the kind you actually get in your mailbox.
What's that?
Yeah, right. It's been a while. But so they were already kind of updating the method of communication with that movie. It was very kind of hip and current at the time. But when I see the year of that romantic comedy, I'm kind of shocked that it's been so long since it came out. 1998, that was quite a while ago. And so when that hit romantic comedy of the same name, You've Got Mail, made its debut, that phrase was cute. Now, what's a debut?
Debut is like an entrance, the very first of something,
mm-hmm.
when something's revealed.
Right. And so the phrase was cute because everyone thought, oh, yeah, email. I just got that, too. You know, like this was brand new for everyone.
It was exciting to get mail in your box. It was like, wow. So, yeah. You know, people, we like walking out to our physical mailboxes. This just moved to our computer. It was like really cool to get something.
That's true. And I've almost forgotten that feeling. Mm-hmm. Now, when I get new emails, usually I get a little annoyed.
It's with dread. Oh, no.
But I remember when I was, you know, 15 and I had this first email address. When I got a new message, I was so excited. I was like, somebody emailed me? Wow. You know, and so it has changed quite a lot. In fact, email, which used to be this fast, special way to be connected, it changed.
Well, it stopped being cute and special because everyone had it. It lost its, you know, special little charm, you know, unique. It wasn't unique anymore.
Right. And then?
Now we find ourselves stuck with the most ironic of unintended consequences. So at first we see here, this first part of this sentence, ironic. Ironic is when like something happens that has almost an opposite intention or opposite outcome of what we wanted.
Right. So something should kind of be true, but actually the opposite ends up being true. And that's irony. So this email that used to be cute and special and charming became what? Kind of annoying, actually.
Yeah, it is, you know, it was efficient. It once was efficient, we see. It was a quick way of communicating, but actually now it hasn't progressed, and now it's actually inefficient compared to our other alternatives that we have. It's gotten bogged down.
Right. We actually call it here, it's vast inefficiency. It's mm-hmm. extreme inefficiency. Email is really probably the most difficult thing to stay organized with. For me, anyway, it's very hard to stay on top of new emails, to organize them appropriately, make sure I'm on the mailing lists I do want to be on, but not the ones I don't, you know, make sure that I'm dealing with things in a timely manner. It's quite frustrating. It's not really as efficient, I think, as it used to be.
Well, also, you know, as we were saying, we all have several different email addresses, but it takes a pretty significant amount of work to sort your life to be going into those proper emails.
Mm-hmm.
I still get spam in the wrong email. The email address that's supposed to be for personal emails, I get spam in it. The email that's supposed to be for updates, sometimes I get personal ones in it. It's still a work in progress. It requires effort. And actually, my first two email addresses, I had to cancel them because they were getting so much spam that I couldn't find the emails I needed in the inbox.
Yeah, exactly. I've done the same thing. And when occasionally I will check that spam folder to make sure, you know, the spam email address, every once in a while there's a personal one that slips in there. And just recently I had to let somebody down because they asked for something by a certain date.
Mm.
I didn't see it. It went to the wrong address. Very inefficient. And here we see that this is an unintended consequence. What do we mean by that?
That was unplanned outcome. Something happened that we had no idea this was going to happen. We certainly didn't want it or plan it.
Right. So when we thought about email and all the possibilities, we did not foresee that this would happen. This was not the way it was created to be, you might say.
Sure. When we started out, the promise was, this is going to be so much better.
Right.
And that's how we headed into it. We're finding out, well, it's not.
Okay. Now, as we move on to the next paragraph, we're talking more specifically about work email, right?
Yes, corporate email specifically.
And what's the problem there?
Well, it says the sheer volume of corporate email is a pretentious sign of importance. That's a lot of interesting words.
Yes. So the sheer volume.
Sheer, I would say in this case, is an emphasis word, like sheer volume, sheer weight, sheer size. It just means how much of it. Wow. It's always, you know, referring to something significantly big.
Good. So when we talk about volume in this kind of situation, we're not talking about sound. We are talking about a large amount of something. And so there's just so much corporate email. But it's interesting, the comment they make about this. I don't know if I would totally agree, but it's an interesting one.
A pretentious sign of importance?
Mm.
First off, pretentious normally I think of is we want to make a good impression of people, and it almost might be another big word I would use is maybe superficial. I'm worried about my image, and so when I'm pretentious, I want to make a big impression on people. So,
right.
And in the corporate world, what this sentence is saying is that, well, look how many emails I get. I am important. My mailbox is constantly full.
To be totally honest, I am guilty of this. I have said this to people before.
About your mailbox?
Because I do get a lot of emails at work.
Yeah.
Not always, not every day. But when I do, it takes me a long time to sort through all of them. And so sometimes I'll say, well, I just had so many emails to reply to, you know. And it sort of makes it sound like, well, I'm very busy and important, so I deserve your respect. But it's funny that that would be, you know, a sign of your importance, that you have all these emails. So many people need your attention. They put it in another way here after that semicolon.
Well, the higher you get in the corporate pecking order, you know, the more emails you must be getting. They're just saying that, oh, if you have that many emails, you must be very high on what they call the pecking order, or I would say maybe the corporate ladder, the most important people on the top, least important on the bottom.
Right. Pecking order. So pecking order would maybe sound a bit like pecking. I think
chickens.
Yeah, this comes from farms, and in the chicken coop, there is a pecking order. There is a hierarchy in the chicken coop, and of course, the rooster rules the roost there, and then the rooster would be the first one to feed, and then go on down the line. It's in any hierarchical organization, there is a pecking order. From highest of importance to lowest of importance.
Right. So if you're low in the pecking order, then you probably don't get very many emails. But if you are high in the pecking order, you would have more email. Interesting idea. But there's another really important point, and this is something we're going to keep coming back to, and that is that email consumes much of our work week. It eats up a lot of our time at the office.
And, of course, the more time it's eating up, the less efficient we are. If you imagine sitting down at your desk every single morning and having to put in 1 hour, 2 hour more just addressing the emails sitting there in your inbox before you can even actually start to do your work, that's how many hours a day gone because you're busy answering people's emails instead of doing your job.
Right. Well, and to be fair, answering emails can often be a part of your job, but how do you deal with that then, right?
Well, just sifting through, sorting out the emails, what is important, what needs to be discarded, is time-consuming. That is probably as big a problem as any, just figuring out,
right,
what do I need to address, what do I discard?
And I know it eats up a lot of my time, and I know it's an issue for our boss as well. Doris gets so many emails, and it definitely takes up most of her day, I would say, on some days. So it's gotten so bad. That what has happened?
There's an unintended consequence to the unintended consequence. Email might be coming to an end.
So we talked earlier about the rise and fall of email. We may be approaching the fall, but there's an interesting adverb being used here.
Mercifully. I love that word in this sentence. We may actually be mercifully approaching the end of email, and actually we're all thankful that when something that is painful is coming to an end, we say mercifully. Like if it's a really bad movie, I would say mercifully the movie ended.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Or a dentist appointment.
Yes. You didn't have to suffer anymore.
Right. Okay. Let's find out more about the rise of email in our next reading.
History and growth. Email was actually born nearly 50 years ago in 1965 on the campus of MIT as a way for computer users to share messages. I was an early adopter of email in the late 1980s. I would dial up my account and patiently wait while my computer connected. And sure enough, there might be three or four emails, usually work-related. Fast forward to today. Each day, 250 billion emails are sent. That number is in the process of doubling, according to MessageMind, a New York email software company. They contain spam, viruses, malicious code, and phishing scams. At work, this once speedy form of communication is the least effective way to get anything done. I had one exchange go on for 2 days, only to settle it in 2 minutes on the phone. The email is the new conference call, which is the old meeting. And as the old saw says, when you're in a meeting, you're not working. The same is true of email. When you're managing it, you're not producing.
So what is the history behind this method of communication? Where did email begin?
Well, it began nearly 50 years ago in 1965 on the campus of MIT. That's Massachusetts Institute of Technology, a very important school in the U.S.
Right. Now, I was quite surprised. That's why we have that word actually there, because most people wouldn't have realized that it actually began 50 years ago.
As I said, my first email box was about 15 years ago. I think it was 97 or 98. Mm-hmm. So we're talking more than 30 years before I had my first email box. They already had it there at MIT.
Right. Now, of course, this was very basic, and it was just for computer users to share messages between computers. But we see here that the author of this article was what we call an early adopter.
Early adopters are people who are first to get a new type of technology when it comes out. They're the ones who will try the iPhone, the first iPhone, before anyone else knows it's good. And of course, there's a bit of a risk involved. They could end up paying a lot of money for something worthless, but that's what an early adopter is.
Mm-hmm. So he started with his first email account in the late 1980s, which is very early for the average Joe, for the average user. And he, of course, went through something similar to what we were talking about, our own experiences.
Yeah, he says, I would dial up my account. He would be using a phone modem. And just for a lot of our listeners that don't realize it, we had to use phone modems with computers before. The speed was 56 kilobits per second. Compare that now to maybe a cable line that you've got 100 megabits per second. So that's really slow. And he had to patiently wait while his computer connected. It took a long time.
Right. And then there would probably be a few emails, usually to do with work. So that's how email kind of got its beginnings. But when we fast forward to today, when we sort of rush ahead and see what's the situation now?
Each day, 250 billion emails are sent, most of them to Naomi's inbox. And the number is actually in the process of doubling.
Mm-hmm. This is according to a New York email software company called MessageMind. So there are a lot of emails going back and forth. But it's interesting as we discover exactly what kind of emails.
Well, we see in line 33 and 34, they contain spam, viruses, malicious code, and phishing scams. So there's a lot of emails floating around that aren't even useful for us. And some are actually damaging.
Right. And so that's a big issue. A lot of the emails that are being sent these days are junk. Mm-hmm. And like we said earlier, many of us have sort of an account that we kind of just use to attract all that junk. And then we have a personal one, you know, to use for the things we actually want to see. And it can be frustrating trying to deal with all that spam, but it can also be quite dangerous.
Yes, we also see it's not just spam, like here's where you can buy these pills for cheap online. There's also, you know, links that if you click on them, you can download a virus to your computer, malicious code, that's programming code that will do something bad to your computer, maybe make it crash, and phishing scams. Phishing scams are an attempt to trick someone into giving information over the internet or by email that would let somebody take money out of your account. If you've ever gotten an email from a Nigerian prince or princess, that was a phishing scam.
Right. But even emails that will have, you know, your bank's logo and they say, oh, we need to update your information. Please confirm. No, don't do it.
Just this morning, I got an email from the FBI saying I hadn't collected my overdue payment yet. I have some money that's coming to me, and I just need to click on their link to get it.
And send us your bank account number, and we'll deposit it there.
But I didn't even know that the FBI owed me money. I'm so excited. How much do you think it is, you guys?
So there are a lot of very tricky ways to try to get people to give you their information. And what about when it comes to, once again, the workplace?
Well, this is actually the big problem for me, Naomi, is at work, this once speedy form of communication is the least effective way to get anything done. So I've actually moved beyond a lot of the problems that we mentioned in the sentence prior to that. I still am having to deal with the bulk of mail I get into my mailbox from my coworkers.
Right.
It, and my family and my friends, people I know overloading me with stuff.
Exactly. We call it a once speedy form of communication. So that means it used to be quick and now it's not. It slows us down. It is not effective. And there's a great example here.
The author says that they had one exchange or one email exchange go on for 2 days and they ended up settling the whole thing over a 2-minute phone conversation. And the author is saying that the email is the new conference call. The conference call was the old meeting. And as the old saw says, when you're in a meeting, you're not working.
I love that. An old saw just means a statement, kind of an idiom, something that people always say or always agree with. And so we can kind of look at those last few sentences backwards. If you're in a meeting, you're not working. And conference calls are like the new version of a meeting, and then emails are the newest version of a conference call. So we're still not working, basically.
And throughout meetings, conference calls, and emails, what we're talking about here in the corporate world is a lot of times there might be 5 or 10 people involved in these things, and it is highly inefficient because you've got everybody sitting around while one person does the talking, and it's really, really inefficient.
Right. Inefficient. And of course, if you're in a meeting, you're not working, is this idea that, you know, you are just kind of sitting around. You're not really accomplishing much when people are just sort of talking and talking and talking. And the same is true of email.
Exactly. When you're managing your email, when you're busy sorting through it and organizing it, you're not actually doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Right. You're so busy organizing your email that you can't actually produce any work. So it's a big problem, and we'll discuss it in much more detail tomorrow as well. So I hope you'll come back and join us then.